Testing, can you test your
testing
mic?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
I like it there.
That's good.
Good. Let's do this then, Dr. Avila.
All right, let's do it.
Here we go. Another episode, another week. We're already in a new term, man. Full of energy. Love University. Yours truly, Ignacio Sandoval Nachin, with my colleague,
Dr. Alex Avila. So we're here to start off, kick off the fall semester, and basically give you the knowledge that you guys need to live a happier life and a better life and loving yourself, others, and a higher nature.
Definitely. And you know what? Love University, it's a process. And every time we do an episode, it's with that in mind, that every time you come to it, in every class, you take at least one little grain. And one day, you're going to have a pot full of it, and you're going to be able to digest it and enjoy it.
That's a good way to think about it. Yeah, one little nugget of wisdom to help you get through your day in a positive way. So today, we're going to talk about an interesting thing. You know, a lot of people are out there trying to find the right person, right? A soulmate in a relationship. So, you know, we talk about what's called the hookup culture today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a result of dating, the internet dating and apps, you know, people are meeting quicker and, you know, getting more involved sexually and romantically. Is that really true? I mean, that's the first thing we're going to look at. You know, is there really a so-called hookup culture, especially among millennials?
It's kind of like crazy, but that's the perception that is out there because it's so easy to do that.
Right.
You know, you would think there is, but I would like to hear your whole analysis on this.
Yeah, actually, you know, some ways is not as much as we think. I mean, if we look at from 88 to present, basically the number of sexual partners between 10 to 20 and 20 to 30 has been about the same. You know, people have that number of partners.
What is the average?
Average is about 7, you know, over a lifetime. But the thing is that celibacy has actually gone up from 10 to 15%. So more people are actually celibate today than they were, you know, say 20 years ago.
Is that because of religious practices or because of health reasons? They don't want to get involved with somebody that might have an STD?
It's possible, yeah. And also just psychologically to get to know themselves first. You know, some people are taking a break from dating for a period of time.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know what? I like that.
Yeah, you like that.
A lot of people don't do that, doctor, because they tend to be in the agony and they hate it. So they go out and they go wild. But then once you go through that phase of wildness, you come back and that's when you find yourself. That's the beauty.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You know, to love yourself first. We talked about that a lot. But, you know, the hookup, the idea is, you know, meeting someone quickly and then having sex or some kind of romantic connection. That's the idea. But in reality, you know, it's not just about sex. I mean, 97% of the time it's about kissing or, you know, some fondling and things like that. Intercourse is about 30% of the time in terms of the hookups. So it's not just about sex, sexual intercourse. The other thing is that in all societies, in all ages, people have had their little so-called romantic phrases. For example, it used to be called wine, woman, and song in the 60s or 50s. It became sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And now we talk about hookup.
Right.
It's really just another term for saying people want to be attracted to each other. You know, they want to have sex
and romance. It's just the current word of the day, right? The
current word of the day. I mean, and the question is, are people doing it more? Now, it is true that some educated females are more sexually assertive, let's say, you know, to do hookups.
Because they're saying, you know what, you got to be open-minded. Why not? I don't want to be repressed.
In a sense, yeah. I mean, they have their career established, you know, educationally, and then, you know, they just want to say, I want to maybe experiment. So some women are that, you know, but not necessarily a majority.
I used to know a girl that was a lawyer. She still is a lawyer. Mm-hmm. And she used to tell me that she would hook up with different guys just as a conquest because she would see that, you know what, it was payback to the guys for doing it to the girls. But most interestingly about the whole thing is that she told me, she said, you know what, Ignacio, the thing is that for me, getting intimate with somebody is—it's—it's just a practice, she says. It's—it's. I get off on it, and you know, I loosen up, lose stress, but I don't kiss a guy. Because to me, kissing is more intimate than sex.
Yeah, some people have that idea. That's an emotional commitment. But yeah, everyone has different perceptions. But, you know, you've heard of the new dating app. There's a dating app out there that, you know, you swipe left, you swipe right, you know, if you like the person, don't like the person. I mean, it's very popular. And it's based on looks. You know, so basically, it's just attraction. And it's fairly popular. But obviously, you know, the key is how important are looks. I mean, and some research studies show that people like people who are similar to them in looks, up to about 22% similar. But beyond that, it becomes like incestuous. Like, you know, this is your brother or sister, so you don't want someone that looks too much like you. So you want a little bit like you, but not too much like you. You know.
Oh, so you won't get weird in your mind.
Yeah, like it's not really attractive. You know, because you know it looks just like you. But definitely, people want people that are somewhat similar levels of looks. So there is something to that. But then you're missing the inner parts. You know, the inner parts of the personality compatibility, and that's where we get to actual internet dating. You know, which some have tests and things like that. You know, the compatibility things.
And a lot of the apps that are out there are just based, like you said, on looks. And others claim that they'll match you with the right person. But at the end of the day, you don't really find the person because a lot of people are really lying about their whole thing. So you and I are going to create for Halloween. We already have the venue. We're going to have a masquerade the weekend, the third week of October. Yes. We're going to be giving away free tickets. It's going to be free where you can come and find the right person, but in person.
Yeah,
you don't have to pay for it.
Exactly, yeah. And plus, you're going to have a little mask on, and then you're going to have your personality type on your written on your shoulder, so you're going to know who you're compatible with based on the personalities. You know, the Love Types book I wrote, that's very popular. So we're going to go deeper down, and as opposed to just a superficial kind of thing.
Kind of like, you know, finding the right individual, finding the right relationship. If you're tired of the BS out there of all of the stuff, you know, there's a formula. Dr. Avila has it here, and we, you know, base our podcast on it, but also on more psychological ideas that he has developed. And the idea here behind it is that, you know what? We don't know all the answers, but somebody has studied and taken the time to do it for us. Why not learn from him, you know?
Sure. I mean, internet dating has advantages. I mean, for example, you know, there's accessibility. You know, you can actually reach out to a lot of people. Maybe you live in a small town. Maybe you're an introvert, right? You don't go out much. You can select more people. The disadvantage is that you get confused by so many options. People nowadays have this shopping kind of mentality. You know, I'm going to shop, and, you know, if I don't like this one little thing about a person,
swipe.
I'm going to get rid of them, right? You know, they're left-handed versus right-handed or something. So, you know, that can happen too. So accessibility can be both a benefit and a curse.
Does that create a doctor kind of like more of an egotistic kind of mindset with the individual swiping, because he's thinking, you know what, I'm just badass, I don't need this ugly person, and then they go out into society and they tend to just swipe through people, ew, you're ugly, ew. And they create that egotistic mania.
Definitely, you know, become overly picky for no reason, you know, basically, and then, you know, they don't end up alone, you know, so they don't really choose a person based on the real values, right? The kindness, humility, humor, you know, all the good things that we like. Matching wise compatibility, you know, some of them have personality tests, which can be useful, but then how accurate are they? You know, my love types have been used on many dating websites, and it's been pretty accurate. And also, people can change over time, so that's another factor. So oftentimes, you have to go with your gut.
Okay.
We talked about the hara, you know, the 0.2 inches below your navel is like your center of energy and, and intuition.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, once you go through the compatibility factors, you know, you might be 90% compatible, but meet them in person and then find out.
Sometimes, you know, they say that opposites attract, and it could work for some instances, but the idea behind it is to find that person that really fills you, and it just makes you feel good, but also be aware of the ups and downs. And the idea is like, you know what, in my case, the person that I choose to be with, I think I want to create my whole nest with, you know, and I want it to be somebody that's going to be happy through thick and thin. And when they're not, you know what, I'm going to be happy for them, like you said, the 90-10.
Right, that's building, you know, like a long-term relationship, you know, based on mutuality, right, you know, mutual connection. But, you know, internet dating, again, has advantages. The communication, right? It's quick. It's efficient, right? But, again, you know, you don't get to see the person face-to-face. And the emotional sides of it. Plus, like you said, people lie. 53% of people lie on internet dating. Females often lie about, you know, physicalness. They might use an older picture. And guys lie about their income and their career.
Filters.
So, you know, those kind of things happen.
I don't know why it happens. I don't know why.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there like that. But the real question is, does online relationships last?
No.
As you said, you know, 20% of people are meeting online now, and they say in 30 years it'll be 70%.
Really?
Yeah, so it's going to be increasing for, you know, convenience sake, people don't have time, things like that. Now, some studies show that it does last, you know, and some relations show it doesn't last, you know, in terms of marriages. The problem is something called causation versus correlation. I'm going to give you a little quiz here.
Go for it. Here we go.
Correlational study is basically you find people as the way they are. So, okay, they're happily married, and you ask them, okay, how did you meet? Well, I met through online dating. So then, but that's not really a causation. It's not a cause, because there could be other factors that indicate their happy marriage.
Right.
It could be their personality, maybe their parents were married a long time, or genetics. So that's not a good study. The only way to do the study is to have two groups of people who are equal in background, genetics, and everything else, and say, hey, you guys over here, you're going to get married in 6 months through online dating. Okay, we're going to give you these options.
So it's control groups.
It's got control groups, right? And then this group are going to say, you're going to go out and meet them through parties and social events, and then we'll see the marital satisfaction after you get married based on those differences. Okay?
Because you set it up and you have the control conditions, and you know exactly all the factors to be
that's
listed.
That's the key.
At.
But this is more harder, because people have to actually volunteer to get married online or through another method, right? So they have to. So it's harder to create that study. But that's the really only way to really prove for sure that online dating works in a long-term setting, because it's causation.
Like that's true, because you're putting it out there. But I met people online in my past, and you know what? It worked out. I was with a girl for a couple of years after that, but we found out we were compatible. But at the end of the day, we were in love with each other, so it disappeared. But it's a sticky situation.
Well, it can accelerate things and make things more convenient. But see, there are two kinds of dating. There's superficial dating, and there's what I call deep dating, right? Which is getting to know the person deeper. Superficial is based on the romantic attraction. Now, we talked about this before, the eros, right? The erotic energy, right? So the first 9 months, you know, you got the, you know, the brain chemicals, serotonin,
you're
dopamine.
You're all drugged up.
Yeah, you're high, you know, Latin, you're walking on air, right? You meet the lady.
Oh, my God, babe, let me hold your hand. Hold on, it's raining.
Exactly. You're on the carpet of magic rides, right?
Yeah.
But then the chemicals wear off, and then if you're not compatible, then you start fighting, right?
Oh, man.
And then I know they broke your finger one time. So
yeah, one of them, yeah, she went crazy. I mean.
Yeah, so that happens, right? So the other side is, you know, deeper dating, you know, like getting to know the role and nature of the person. So there are different levels. The first level is what we call a checklist.
Okay.
Now, on online, you often see like, okay, these are the things I want, right? You know, tall, dark, and handsome, athletic, likes cats. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's one way to look at it. But there are other things, obviously, that are important too, mm-hmm. that don't go into that checklist. You know, these are just singularities.
Those are just kind of generalities, right?
Right. So you need to see the person in the whole context, really, mm-hmm. to put it together. The second level is something called love at first sight or love at first chat. You know, people fall in love with each other's words. Like you message a person, oh, they speak so eloquently, you know, they're so witty.
So the sound does have a lot of perception in our minds, right? Like if those that vibration in your brain feels comfort, feels safe, they're going to respond positively.
Yeah, especially
right?
the words. I mean, many times it's a message like you don't hear it, but you see it, right? And the way they write is very interesting, intellectual, yeah. witty, or whatever it is.
But what about if this guy's a Don Juan and he knows how to get them
there
right down
go.
To her?
That's it. What if he's not faithful? What if he's got yeah. a bad temper? You know, so there are a lot of factors that don't come into the words because mm-hmm. the context is just on the internet. You need to meet them in person, right?
Yeah. You always get those guys in those relationships, and then the girl says, oh my God, I'm talking to my girl, and I can't believe that it's the perfect guy. Mm. I'm telling you, there's something wrong with that guy. I'm telling you. And then yes. later on, it comes out, I told you, let's go out.
Yeah, let's go out and have some margaritas, right? Let's meet somebody.
He's a jerk. He just used me for my credit card to put gas on the weekends.
Did that happen to you?
No.
But yeah, I mean, guys can be superficial too. Like, there's yeah. one guy. He's saying, I dated her for 2 years, and then she started making demands. She wanted to know my name. You know, that's what's superficial. Some people do yeah. that kind of stuff. A deeper level now is basically trying to figure out the red flags. You know, like people mm-hmm. say, okay, is there a personality problem? Now, remember we talked about, are you dating the lunatic, which yeah. I'm actually working on a book, that title.
That's the new title. Yeah, you revealed it now.
What's one of the books?
Okay.
And then basically, you know, the personality disorders. Are they a narcissist, you know, self-absorbed? Are they mm-hmm. histrionic? Are they drama queen or kings? Mm-hmm. So, but those kind of things are maybe hard to find in the beginning. You have to spend time with that person, right? You know, you have to see them in situations. You know, do they, you know, you go to the mountains and the car breaks down. Do they start yelling and screaming? Mm-hmm. Road rage, you know, those yeah. kind of things. You need to spend more time. So it's not always easy to tell if there's a big flaw.
So that I didn't even know that road rage can be a flaw. Like I like to entertain myself when I'm driving, and yes. when I see a bad driver next to me, I try to be the best driver I can, you know. Okay. But when I see somebody like is hogging the lane and they're not letting you pass, they're yes. boxing you, and I'm like, dude, get away. But okay. within myself, okay. I don't scream it out.
You don't scream it out. Okay.
Sometimes when I have somebody there, I do it because I like to entertain people. Okay. Like, dude, get there.
Yeah, okay.
But will that be considered bad? Because I do it out of, like, humor.
It depends how you do it. I mean, if you do it out of aggression, like some people, you know, their face turns red, you know, their blood vessels pop and start cursing. No. They even want to pull over and fight you. You know, there are people who have extreme anger issues. Impulse control. Impulse meaning that they can't control themselves.
In a second, they light up, right?
They light up, yeah. I mean, imagine married to a person like that. You know, they're yelling and throwing things, even physically attacking you. It happens a lot.
It's people that have a short temper and a short fuse, right? Anything that you say that might trigger an emotional memory, they'll light up. What, are you trying to kill me, bro? Mm-hmm. Nah, bro, we're not in the hood. Nah, bro, you were looking at me, bro.
Right, exactly. Yeah, they're like automaton. They're like machines, right?
Yeah.
And the program is, disrespecting me, right? Any kind of disrespect.
Anything. They take it as wrong. So
right.
Yeah, that's maximized. A character
So problem. That's just one example. I mean, it could be they're unfaithful. You know, they look at all the ladies or guys in the room when they're with you, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, they're shopaholics. I mean, they're whatever, you know, they're extremely messy.
Oh,
so all these factors, you know, can come out
when you college either, years. Yeah,
we live with them or spend more time with them.
Yeah.
But the final idea, this is what we want to get into, you know, in our deep dating programs, is really being a connection with that person, a deep connection, where you bring out the best in each other. Mm-hmm. Where you become their best self, they become your best self.
Good.
You know, and that's really the key, you know, because you want someone that's gonna help you become your ideal image of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
They really believe in you. They support you. You know, they have that kind of power. And that's a great relationship. However, that takes time spent together.
So you really have to commit to the relationship. And kind of like, I take the word commitment as saying, you know what? I'm going to give you most of my attention because I want to move forward and look into a future with
right.
you
mm-hmm.
instead of a part-time relationship that is kind of like common nowadays too.
Definitely so. I mean, you know, time is the issue now. That's why internet dating is so popular because people feel they have no time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's easy to meet someone quickly, you know, online and things like that. But then they don't want to spend the time to get to know the person.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And in fact, they've done studies that even in marriages are spending less time with each other. Couples are spending less time with each other in marriage.
Dang.
You know, less time going out and talking to each other than they used to 20, 30 years ago. Again, the busy revolution, right?
Yeah.
Everyone thinks they're busy. I was reading a book recently that said, you know, the best busy is to be unbusy. Because mentally, let's say you do what you like to do, but you take time out for the important things in life. Mm-hmm. Being with family and friends, right? Being with loved ones. That's what really counts. So when you're on your deathbed, are you going to think, oh, I should have done more work, or I should have spent more time with my loved ones?
Yeah.
See, that's the idea. So people need to start thinking of that, you know, that way in terms of relationships, you know, to kind of like take a step back and say, mm-hmm. wait a minute, what is my real value here? On my deathbed, looking back, what is going to be the most important thing? Mm-hmm. The time I spend with my loved one, developing that beautiful love relationship.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to do that. So again, you know, in a relationship, the key is spending the time together, getting to know each other, and having that balance. That's the key.
To be with that person and becoming one. And at the end of the day, it's creating memories. I think a lot of the way we look at life nowadays is, like you said, it's in a consumer mindset that we want to have more. We want to have the best to impress others.
Right.
But you forget about the basics. Mm-hmm. That is one thing. Life is momentarily. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to have the same health in years from now. So might as well kind of like cut back on some of the excessive things that you might not need.
Right.
So you don't have to beat yourself down to it. So enjoy the more natural stuff, right?
Yeah, I think we should probably do a little segment on that another time. You know, the busyness versus the solitude, relaxation, right?
I like that one. The next one, we should do that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, because, next week.
You know, basically, you know, we're coming in an overly busy society.
Yeah.
Mentally, right? They said the busiest people are those that don't think they're busy, right? You know, they're accomplishing things, but they're taking time to do what they need to do as well, to relax, to meditate, to spend time with loved ones. You know, those are people that accomplish a lot. You know, some of the great successful people. Everyone else is saying, I'm busy, I'm running around, but they're often doing things that, you know, catch up with them eventually, right?
I think people that are super busy is people that tend to not have kind of like a flow in their life, and they overbook themselves because they feel they're Superman, Superwoman, and they forget that they only have a certain amount of hours because you got to rest your body. You cannot work so much, so you got to prioritize and go. The way that I look at it is like you go for the thing that is going to give you the most benefit at the moment, and then later on, everything is moving in that direction, because if you accomplish the one thing that can hinder the others, you kind of clear your path and everything else just falls into place and everything is moving like a clock. This time, this time, this time, this. That's how I look at it, with that discipline. I get up in the morning.
Right.
I have this. I have that. I go back to sleep. When I go to sleep, it's recharge.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you're talking about things like mindfulness, right? Being aware of yourself, you know, so-called meditation. You know, there's an executive that says, you know, I put my body first. I didn't do that. You know, I had like a heart attack. So now what I do, if I need to get more rest, I will actually cancel a meeting to get more rest or to exercise.
Good.
You know, which I think is priority for my body. And then I'm going to go back and do much better at the meeting. Even though, you know, they may not be happy in the beginning. But, you know, I took care of the most important thing, right? Is my health, right? To be healthy, to be, you know, successful.
Right, you have to.
But people don't do that, right? People do the opposite, right? You sacrifice your body to get that extra deadline and to this and that. And what's it going to matter in 5 years, right? When you're, you know, comatose or something, right?
Man, it's crazy, but you know what? We forget to eat. Like yesterday, I was at the radio show that I do, and I was drained. It was like at 9 p.m., and usually I'm still good.
Right.
But it had been like, you know, these 2 weeks had been like an adjustment for me for my new schedule. But I realized that everything's falling into place, but... This morning, I said, okay, I can sleep in another half an hour because my appointment is till later where I have to be.
Right.
That half an hour seemed like a year that I needed. And if I had not done that, if I would have done the other thing that I had in my head, trust me, today would have been super dragging. But it's about that. Realizing that you come first. Without you, that body, you're nobody.
Right. Without your temple, there's nothing left.
Nobody.
Exactly. Nobody. Exactly. So, I mean, that goes back again to the finding love idea, right? You know, we always say that, you know, we need to find love within yourself first. So one of the best advices, I think, is to find your great passions, right? Your great hobbies. And then find groups that resonate with that, you know, whether it's online or offline. You know, you love, you know, speaking, you love chemistry, you love psychology, you know, spirituality, arts, mechanics, whatever it is you love, you know, start finding groups and people that resonate with that idea. Make friends among those people, and they have networks, right? So within those networks, you can start to meet maybe the ideal person, right? A romantic partner that can connect with you on that level. And they see you at your best, and then they can help you become your best self.
Oh, my God. This guy doesn't even know how to cut wood, but he's playing the part just because I look hot. Look at him.
Oh, yeah. Well, people do that, actually. They go to places like that. But, you know, but you got to be authentic, right? You know, don't just go there because you want to meet hot people. But, you know, you want to go there because you love what you do, and you will attract, you know, that person that also resonates you.
Exactly. And the most important thing, like you said, is go with your gut instinct, because you might meet the right person in your eyes, but like Dr. Avila is saying, you got to go deeper, but your gut instinct is the first kind of like sensor that tells you this is going to go somewhere. I believe, Dr. Avila, that we as human beings have the intelligence to know from the get-go where things are going to go based on our past experiences. In 30 seconds, you know if you click with somebody or not. If you have the chemistry, it's just going to flow.
Yeah, maybe the first 30 seconds, but then another, you know, several hours to know them a little deeper, the personality.
And then, you know, doctor, I think you're just trying to go and have a lunch dinner. Okay. We got to go eat. Okay, we got to do this. Yeah,
you got to pay my tacos then. I'll do
I know.
But yeah, basically, you know, there's two things, right? There's the instant chemistry, like you said, and there's their true compatibility, mm-hmm. and there's the deepest love. Right. So there are different stages, right? Different elements. Mm-hmm. And to get to the third stage is going to take time, investment, and also desire to really reach a higher level. When we talk oftentimes about the higher nature, right? You know, some people say it's spiritual, mm-hmm. God, whatever you call it. There's also higher nature in relationships. There's a spiritual nature.
What happens, doctor? I know this is going to be kind of like a question that's going to have many layers, but mm-hmm. a basic answer to this is what happens to those relationships that are borderline divorcees because they're incompatible? Can they still save it, or is there a point to salvaging it?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a possibility. I mean, the key is, you know, the level of compatibility, the level of love, the investment they have. But yeah, there's always options, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the key is both of them need to have a desire, right? They need a desire to transcend their current situation, to elevate, mm-hmm. you know, and to think just beyond their bodies, right? You know, what else do we have to offer the world? You know, let's just create something positive. So if there's a reason for the marriage beyond just being together, procreating, and having kids, there's something else, right?
There's a purpose.
There's a purpose, right? So mm-hmm. finding that purpose, you know, you've heard of the purpose-driven life.
Yeah.
I believe there's a purpose-driven marriage.
That's a good point.
Yeah, people don't usually use that term, but you know, a marriage has a purpose. You know, to create light in the world, to help other people.
We're gonna be the Beyonce and Jay-Z. yeah,
let's write some music together. Yeah, who knows, right?
You never know.
Some of those celebrity couples can work out. You know, if they can collaborate without ego.
Yeah.
But many times, ego gets in the way, and one thinks they're better than the other. Right? You know, they're you know, I got the more hits, I got the more this. Yeah, but that doesn't work. So they need to be collaborating as a team and see themselves as one mind
and growing together.
Growing together. That's the power.
Well, man, Dr. Avila, every episode we do, I enlighten myself so much, and I hope you do too out there. You know, we do it from the bottom of our hearts.
Definitely.
And, you know, the best thing you can do to show us love is to spread the word. Tell everybody about this podcast. And
definitely.
You know, tell them it's Love University. Take the course. It's free.
Yeah. And we got those little cards that say on the back, got love.
Yes. Right?
And then we can, you know, if anyone wants to write in, we can definitely mm-hmm. pass them out to you, mail them to you. We have love type for you, the letter number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. Guytypes.com. They can also contact us. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we can give them these cards. These are like little icebreaker cards.
Yeah.
And actually, if you want to meet people, this is kind of a good way. You know,
definitely.
You can say you're at a party. Hey, got love. Hey, what do you mean? Okay, there's a little, you know, love university, right?
We're at the same level. What's up?
Yeah, let's talk about psychology, spirituality, relationships, mm-hmm. whatever you want to talk about. So it's a great way to connect with people. You know,
definitely.
It's a positive way to spread the love.
Spread it and spread the love. Dr. Avila, thank you so much for this episode. Next week, I know we're going to come back with that one, the one we just mentioned.
That'll be nice, yeah.
And you know what? I look forward to it. This week has been a short one, but like they say, you know what? Shorty but goody.
Shorty but goody. And until next time, love university, love yourself, others, and a higher nature.